and Answers begins right now.
You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. As we near the return of Christ, the world will grow increasingly hostile to biblical teaching. And this is what we're witnessing today. A time of purging has come for the church. We are seeing which churches are standing and defending God's truth and which churches are compromising with the culture. The last time we were together, Pat began an interview with our guest, Pastor Joe Onosi. Today, we will conclude this discussion about critical issues facing the church today and how we can meet the challenges with truth and integrity. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this interview entitled The Uncompromising Church and find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or just listen online. Now, let's get right to the conclusion.
One of the solutions to what I believe the crisis we're seeing in the evangelical church there is a commitment to expository preaching. And Joe, that's something you're committed to. Expository preaching and teaching the full counsel of God's word. You know, but you shared with me, you aren't always practicing that early in your ministry. Tell us about that transformation in your ministry and why.
You know, for many years, a topical guy. I come up with topics, and then I look for scriptures to support that topic, whether it's the proper context or not, you know? And I think after doing that for so many years, you start thinking that you got it down and you got it wired. So after a while, your approach to preparing lessons, you know, becomes so automatic and so easy that you don't put the effort that you should. The pandemic was horrible for many reasons, but for there's one good thing out of the silver lining out of the pandemic for me was being able to see some of my friends on social media who were preachers. I never saw them preach before. None of us had TV ministries or were on social media, right? And then suddenly I saw some of my friends preaching, and I enjoyed hearing some of them, but particularly one person in New Zealand, his name is Pastor Chris Sola, really enjoyed hearing him and break down the scriptures. And I felt like I've never heard an expository preacher preaching with such passion. I've heard expository preaching before that was kind of dry and more kind of a lecture that's great for instructions and all that. But during a church setting, it's kind of boring for me. But I heard this guy, and it was instructional and inspirational all at the same time because he preached with such passion and such fire. Well, I got to spend 30 weeks with him, 30 weeks learning. I wanted to learn. And I took advantage of that pandemic period to learn expository. Of course, I ordered every book that I could download as well, that I could find that had anything to do with expository and preaching. And just learning the basic of hermeneutics that I think every Bible teacher should at least learn that, knowing that, you know, there's certain ways of interpreting scripture, and if you would just follow these rules, that you'll stay faithful to what the Bible writers were actually trying to say. Because the topical preaching, you know, we try to, instead of doing exegesis, you're doing eisegesis, right? You're injecting your own definition into the text instead of trying to extract the definition from the text. And so I would come up with 3 to 5 points with every scripture and had nothing to do with the scripture, you know, as a topical preacher. And I think for me, what it did for me was that it just, I felt like a little kid in a candy store that was learning. And I think it has done that with some of our other Bible teachers in our church, as well as even in our congregation, stirred up a greater hunger because they've never heard expository preaching before, you know, most of them anyway. And they've never heard the cultural context, the historical context, even the grammatical context and the Hebrew and the Greek and all that. And, you know, so when they start hearing the backstory of certain scriptures, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that, you know, because some of the passages are very powerful, but if you hear it in its context, it's even more powerful. Mm-hmm. And so I think expository has done something for me. It's been really good for me. It's also been great for our church.
Yeah, you know, and as you're going through books of the Bible systematically, I mean, you're addressing issues that perhaps you didn't think about. But because this is the full counsel of God's word and God's wisdom here, I mean, he's going to make you address issues. And a lot of the issues I've never studied before, like you said, and I've really had to learn. And they're really uncomfortable for me to preach. You know, I was just speaking the other day and I had to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, that's about sex and marriage. And I was like, well, let's skip that one. But then I thought, wait a minute, okay, we got to preach. And wow, the stuff we uncovered, how important that sexual relationship is in marriage, how devastating it can be if it's you don't have the right attitude and the right heart and you don't do it God's way, how it can just destroy marriages was just absolutely insightful to me, but it was very difficult to preach. I mean, I just kind of wanted to skip over it. But when you do it systematically like you're doing, you're forced to address those kind of issues.
Yes. And that's very challenging for the pastor and the Bible teacher because you got to work. It takes a lot of work to unpack certain verses. And so after the pandemic, when I started learning, we decided, okay, let's cover 2 Timothy. Let's start with a smaller book first. And mm-hmm. we went through 2 Timothy. And after that, we went through the book of Genesis. We covered from Genesis 1, you know, and we just went on. And everybody, some of my pastor friends would tease me. They go, so what, are you on Genesis 25 yet? You know, and the following week, they'll see me that, so what, are you on 27 now? Mm-hmm. You know, and but I think for me and my church, it was so good because we were now having to cover things verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and it takes discipline, mm-hmm. you know, because my temptation after years and years of being a topical preacher is to jump all over the place, you know, but to cover it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, it's been a challenge. So, last year we started the whole book of Matthew, and we're processing through that. Since 6 months ago, I had to stay in the hospital for a month, and I came out of that near-death experience. So the last 6 months, I've actually been doing little short series and not following the Matthew concept, but my executive pastor does, mm-hmm. and I'm going to return back to the Matthew book. But I think what's great is it makes it so much easier for our church to follow chapter by chapter. They know exactly what mm-hmm. we're going to cover, so they can do their own research, they can do their own studying, and then we can match up our notes as we cover the text during the service. But I think it's so much more enjoyable. I think it's even easier because you're not having to, the topic presents itself within mm-hmm. the verses that you cover, and you're not trying to be creative and find out all sorts of topics and grab books and try to read books so you can get a topic. I think if you just follow the general thought of the author, they present the topics for you already.
Yes. And Joe, many pastors do not do expository preaching like this. You know, why do you think that is?
Why?
Yeah.
It's hard work. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think they think that the people will be bored, mm-hmm. that if we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And I think a lot of it just, if you're boring, it's going to be boring, mm-hmm. no matter how exciting the text is.
Yeah.
So I think as a preacher, we use our personality, right? God, mm-hmm. God's given us personality. You can't be, if you're passionate, you're probably going to be passionate in your preaching. If you're more of a teacher and instructional guy, that's how you're going to teach. And God's going to bring people to you that are more attracted to that type of teaching. I think when we become preachers to draw people, mm-hmm. instead of just be a preacher to be faithful to preaching. I think if we just do that, then God will bring the people that belongs to your church and that will fit in the chemistry in that church. We would love to have everybody in our church, but that's, if we're all different, And so some like vanilla ice cream, some like chocolate mm-hmm. ice cream, you mm-hmm. know. So we try to make sure that we try to get the application so that when people leave, they know that, hey, this is how we can apply what we learned today into our lives and apply it, you know, and be faithful to it. I think when I first started doing expository, I was trying to be too technical mm-hmm. and too instructional. But thank God my church was enduring and and didn't walk out of my teaching sessions. But I think I've kind of found a nice balance to make sure, you know, because they're always looking for the application. And so I get to that point. But I, at the same time, the main thing for me is to stay faithful to the authorial intent. You know, what was the author trying to say?
Yeah.
Because that's the bottom line.
Right.
Is that because you can make it sound what you want it to say, you know, instead of just saying, okay, this is what the author intended to say. So I'm going to say this and just explain, you know, but I think sometimes we can add all our illustrations and stories. And sometimes all you need is the scriptures. I love illustrations and I love great stories, but I try to make sure that doesn't overshadow the scripture.
Yeah, and I think the point you brought out there is really important for people to understand. And hermeneutics, what you're talking about, I think every Christian should know so that they're not reliant on someone else to interpret the Bible for them, but they can look at the verse themselves. And I think one of the things you mentioned that's really important is, what is the intent of the author? You know, Bible study is not about what does it mean to me or what do I think about the text. Really, it's what was Paul? What was Moses? What was Peter? You know, what was John? The author, what were they trying to say? And that's one of the rules in hermeneutics. You know, if I say something and you misunderstand me, I'm immediately going to say, that's not what I meant, right? It wasn't the intent of the author here. Or if I misunderstand someone else and you know that person well, you say, no, that's not what Joe meant. So getting to the intent of the author, what did the author try to communicate is key, not what it means to me.
Exactly. I think, my instructor told me that, you know, a text without context is pretext.
Right.
And I tell you, the definition of pretext to me is making up your own story, you know, or fake story, you know. It's so important, you know, because I know that today there are many Bible studies that they'll read a scripture and they'll go around the room and go around the circle and say, what do you think? And it's really not about what you think. I think nobody cares about what you think. They want to know what the Bible thinks,
right.
You know. And then how does that apply to us? And how does that speak to us? How does those are good response and a good way to reply. Is, man, that scripture really challenges me because I'm having issues in this area. And so I think, you know, the Bible studies today, if they can just alter that and find out what is the author is trying to say, and then we build our discussion around that and how it applies to our life, how it challenges us. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but every time I read scripture, it challenges me, you know.
Yeah.
The brokenness and the sinfulness in me that tries to rebel against my flesh, wants to rebel against scripture and sound wisdom. Man, it challenges me to the core. And I begin to realize that, I'm totally relying on God's grace for me to, you know, we're walking through the process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. Thank God, you know, that he sets us free from the law of sin and death, that I don't need to be perfect because can't earn my salvation, you know, is by the grace of God. But I think what people, they give themselves a license to continue to live in sin
because
they don't realize that there's actually a process of sanctification that God wants us to go through where we begin to sin less and less and less and less and becoming more like Christ. And that takes a lifetime process. I know that the Joe Onosai that gave his life to the Lord in his college days is not the same Joe Onosai today, you know. And yet my wife will tell you, but the Joe Onosai today still got a long ways to go in different areas in his life. And that's because I'm still on that process, right, of becoming more and more like Christ. But she'll tell you, because sometimes some of the women in the church will say, you know, I pray that one day my husband will be like Pastor Joe. And then my wife said, "Oh, you don't want that to happen. You want him to be better than that. Okay, become more like Christ." That's where I think part of the discipleship is so important. That, you know, people not just come to Jesus by grace through faith, but also are discipled and have somebody there to walk them through the process of becoming more like Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, let me give all of you some insight here. a lot of times when a pastor is preaching, he himself is convicted by the message he is preaching.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of times I tell my wife, I said, you know, I can't help but feel like the biggest hypocrite sometimes when I'm up there on the pulpit, because I'm preaching this stuff and people probably think, oh, he's got it made, when that's the very thing that I'm struggling with. And sometimes that's the reason I'm preaching it, is because I struggle so much with it. But that's a struggle that all pastors go through.
Yeah. I think, you know, if us as pastors are transparent with our church, mm-hmm. man, it does wonders, you know, for our church people to think that, wow, even my pastor struggles in this area. And, you know, the thing is, and I've shared that many times with our church, that there's certain things that this text has me preach on that I'm very confident in, because mm-hmm. I saw how God gave me a breakthrough in the grace to overcome this area in my life. And yet there's certain things that I know that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be preaching on this text. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm still the construction project mm-hmm. in this area of my life. And I think when the church realizes that, man, you know, I can trust my pastor to be real, be truthful, but at the same time, be real and transparent with his life. You know, he's in the same journey mm-hmm. with us. And he's not some guy that's up there and we're down here. I think I appreciate those type of preachers as well. Some of the guys that I look up to, when I hear their stories and I hear how transparent they are with their lives, that sometimes they get mad at their wives and sometimes mm-hmm. they say things to their wives that they shouldn't say. I'm like, oh, man, okay, I feel better now. I'm mm-hmm. not the only jerk in the world, right, that's in ministry.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I think what we're seeing now really is a purifying of the church. Now, we are really going to see what churches really want to stand for Christ and stand for God's truth, and the churches that are more concerned about being liked by the culture and being popular, you know, and I think that's the process that we're seeing here. You know, we study in the Old Testament how God often weeded out the sheep from the goats, you know, and often worked with the remnant. And it's through the remnant that God really used in powerful ways to, you know, restore the nation of Israel. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Is that what you're saying? I think we're seeing a purifying of the church in our time. We're going to really see who the true faithful churches are.
Most definitely. And I think as times get darker and darker, I think it's going to be more defining, mm-hmm. right? I think there's been a lot of evil for a long time, but I think we're starting the separation and we're able to distinguish it even more now as the lines are being drawn out. You can see the difference between the wheat and the tare, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think the times that we're living in now, and as time goes on before Christ comes, I think we're going to see that become even more important to be a part of the remnant church that is standing their ground, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of compromise, that we stand our ground. Just get your heels dug in and continue to trust God and continue to stand for the truth.
Yeah, you know, Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 that we are in a battle. I mean, he's talking about spiritual warfare. He's using military terms here. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we take captive every thought, make it obedience to Christ. He talks about our weapons of our warfare are not of this world. I mean, he's using battle terms here. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. Not only is the church a hospital, but also it's a fortress in enemy territory. And as pastors and as believers in Christ and the church, we're going to be in a battle. It's going to get tough out there. And so as Paul says, we need to take on our spiritual armor so that we can stand, you know, against the enemy in these evil times. And so part of me feels maybe we've lost that understanding that we're in a battle here and the church is in enemy territory.
Yeah. You know, when Christ, the Messiah, showed up, they had religious people around them that were hoping for the Messiah, mm-hmm. didn't recognize the Messiah because they were so caught up in their religiosity and I think that we got to be careful of those of us who call ourselves believers. and really not follow the Holy Spirit. You know, in these times, we can be deceived. And we got to know that, you know, the same way Jesus confronted the spiritual and the religious elite of, mm-hmm. of the times, that we're going to have to stand up. And you're going to have, unfortunately, churches that are going to look the part, sound the part, mm-hmm. but are not the part. And I've never been one to try to point fingers, but I, mm-hmm. you know, you just let the fruit speak for itself. And so my hope is that we will be those that will be led by the truth and stand for the truth, especially in the times that we live in.
Yeah, you know, in culture of compromise, where the church is being forced to compromise, really refreshing to talk to pastors like you who are really taking their stand and being faithful to the Word of God. Well, Joe, you know, as we bring this part of the show to a conclusion here, what is your exhortation to pastors and church out there as times, you know, it's getting a lot darker and the pressure to conform or be silent by the culture is just increasing upon the church and its leaders?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to realize that, first of all, we're not in this alone. Don't be like Elijah thinking you're fighting this battle by yourself. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pastors out there that are passionate in following Christ and following the scriptures, teaching the scriptures and doing the hard work and research to teach it well. So just know that, first of all, you're not alone. I hope that you partner up with other pastors who are like-minded to mm-hmm. keep you encouraged. I belong to a group that of pastors that meet every month, and they were constantly praying for each other and sharing our victories and our defeats, being transparent with one another, praying for one another. And I think we're going to need that in this time mm-hmm. to help us stay focused and help us stay on track, because there's so many things that the culture will throw at us that will try to get us off track and get us unfocused. And so I just want to encourage you to find other pastors that have the same heart, the passion mm-hmm. to stand for the truth and preach the truth. I think by the grace of God, we'll continue to do this until he comes back or until we join him.
Great. Great words of wisdom. And I hope you were inspired by our interview here with Pastor Joe Onosai of Destiny Church. Joe, tell us a little bit about Destiny Church there.
Oh, Destiny Church started about a month from now. It'll be 13 years mm-hmm. that we started off. We started off in Palolo housing area with Jared Intermediate School. Mm-hmm. And then we went to University of Hawaii, met there for a little bit. And we had two campuses for a little while, mm-hmm. one in University of Hawaii and one here in Waipahu. But now we meet at Pearl City. And so we have future hopes to plant other churches down the road. And in God's time, we will do that. But we love the worship. We love singing songs. We love worshiping the Lord, and we love the Word of God.
And tell us a little bit of the values of Destiny Church.
Well, God's Word is the most mm-hmm. valuable thing to us. And then we also believe that that every single person has a purpose and plan. So our whole goal is to help people discover, develop, and release their God-given purpose. And then we also believe in fellowship. We believe that together we're stronger than by ourselves. So those are just three values I consider to give you all our values. But we're not a large church, but we're a great church. We're a healthy church. And we hope that in the future that we'll be able to plant more churches around Hawaii and perhaps overseas.
Yeah, so you've been listening to our interview with Pastor Joe Onosai. It's a two-part series. If you didn't hear the whole thing, then you can go on our website there at evidenceandanswers.org or on our YouTube page and watch the interview with Pastor Joe Onosai. He shared with us his remarkable journey from athletic stardom to ministry for the Lord, and we've been talking about ministry now in the 21st century and the uncompromising church in a culture of compromise. So, Joe, we want to thank you for being here with us on Evidence and Answers.
Thanks for having me, man.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.